From Calvary Church of Santa Ana, this is the Calvary Life Podcast, the show where we share stories, laugh together, and have discussions about faith, life, and God with people from Calvary Church. Here are your hosts, Eric and Matt.
Welcome to the Calvary Life Podcast. This is Eric Wakeling here with Matt Doan.
Hello, hello.
How's it going today, buddy?
Doing great.
Awesome.
Yes, how are you?
I'm doing great. Do you realize that we haven't put an episode out since Easter?
I know. It kind of feels like this is the theme of the spring so far. Every other week or every couple weeks. We're sorry, listener.
Well, you also expressed it from the stage yesterday, a little bit of why.
Yes.
I mean, A, because it was like the day after Easter, we were all more off.
Yes.
And then you went to Ecuador.
Yes, Ecuador. Ecuador.
Ecuador, Guayaquil. So, yeah, like that's kind of, it was hard to record when you were there.
We probably could have done it.
Oh, yeah? You think? Like maybe just like FaceTiming or something and I record it? I don't know how that works.
I don't know either.
Because I think a lot of podcasts actually are done more remotely or yes. Done like kind of via a Zoom chat or something.
Yes, yes.
Style because, you know, people aren't all in the same city when they interview people. But ours is intensely personal.
Yes, we're staring at each other in the eyes. I'm not blinking right now.
Me neither. Wow, this is pretty amazing.
It's a good week. I blinked first. Well, I always say to you, listener, that we're committed to this podcast until we're not.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's pretty much right.
Last week we were not.
Yeah. And sometimes we're committed to putting like a ton of research into certain things and then some. Well, no, maybe that's not true at all.
We probably should have a just permanent section of correction and retractions.
Yeah, and we're fine with being told those things. Like, we're not too prideful.
No.
We are open to corrections and retractions. And so unless we don't like what you say, we'll read it.
Yeah, that's fair. That's really fair.
Yeah, we actually get hundreds of emails a week, guys, but we just don't like any of them. No, just kidding. Yes, sir. I see that hand.
Are you the type of person who has to open every piece of snail mail that you get at home? Like if you get something in the mail and it's from like, I don't know, an advertisement from Chase Bank, but you're like, huh, maybe there's something in it and you open it. Or are you the type of guy who just throws unopened mail in the trash?
So this might shock you, okay? Because knowing how I am, my personality and the ways that we sometimes have conflict.
Sure.
I am more of the throwawayer.
Really?
Doesn't that surprise you?
Yes.
So much so to the fact that a couple times when we had one of our credit cards get hacked or something, I then just have thrown out the new one that comes because it comes in like a
like plain unmarked,
unmarked envelope. Right. I'm just like, well, I don't know what happened to that. So yeah, I know. Isn't that shocking?
It is.
It's shocking to even to myself as I say the words.
Would you ever want to turn over a new leaf and just start opening mail?
Well, I think I wasn't this way until maybe 10 years ago in my life. I'm turning 50 this year. The mail used to be a glorious thing.
It was wonderful.
I loved getting mail.
I adored it.
Yes. Opening mail was so fun.
The best.
And now all it is bills and junk mail.
Yep.
So I don't do the bills. B does. So I don't know. I just start throwing stuff away. And then I'm just like, oh, look, we didn't have to pay that one. That's how it works, right?
I am currently in a battle with Next Hamburger on Chapman.
Oh,
and it has to do with the mail.
Interesting.
So every like Thursday you get like that kind of like stack of coupons, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And usually you
wait
just
a minute, pause. Coupons or coupons? What are we doing here?
I say coupons.
Does it sound good as it comes out?
Like croutons. It's like coupons, croutons. What do you say?
I don't know why that was like so funny to me. Coupons, I think.
Coupons.
Can we get
you kind of like raise your voice? Coupons.
Coupons. I'm sorry. I'm like struggling right now to be normal. Yeah, I don't know. Could you guys email podcast@calvarylife.org with a phonetically spelled?
Yes.
Or maybe a little recording of yourself saying the word.
That would be even better.
Mm-hmm. I'd like that.
Okay.
All right. Continue. So okay, you've got your pile of coupons.
Yep. And I found in the middle of it a free burger from Next Burger.
Hey-o.
So next day, cut that bad boy out. Next day, head to Next Burger. Went through the drive-thru. They said, how can I help you? I said, I want a hamburger. Got to the window. It's going to be $3.99. No, it's not. Free coupon. Boom.
Yeah.
Next week, got another one.
Oh.
Headed right down. Got my burger. Boom. Third week, next one. Boom. Three Next burgers, 3 weeks in a row for free. And I just got a water with it, too, so I didn't have to pay anything.
Wait, I thought you said you have a bone to pick with them.
I do.
Oh.
Because the coupons have dried up.
You want continual? You are just.
So I've been like diving the last like 6 weeks through that coupon like little stack. Like, oh, it's got to be in here. It's got to be in here. Nothing.
Maybe they realized this was not a good effective campaign.
I think they've pulled it just from my house. Yeah. I think they're like, this guy doesn't buy anything with his burger. He just gets a burger and water. We're cutting them off.
You're like what everyone says is wrong with California. Just you want the state to give you free things.
I don't want the state. I want Next Burger to give me free things.
That's amazing. Dude, well done on actually looking at the coupons.
Yes.
Cutting them out.
See what you're missing?
I know.
You threw away like a free hamburger.
I used to love flipping through that little booklet, but I'm too lazy kind of now because I hate junk mail so much. But like, I love flipping through for all the different coupons. It's so fun.
Are you the type of guy that goes into a grocery store and grabs that little like, you know, discount book thing?
Definitely not. Never once have I done it.
Yeah, I've never done that either.
Yeah. Or like when they pass it out when you walk into Costco.
Yeah.
So sometimes you can just take that thing, just so you know. This is a little life hack for you. Okay. You can take the whole booklet and then just go do all your shopping and never once look at the booklet and then never once look at any of the things that you bought.
Yep.
Just buy them and then just hand the people the book and say, I want the coupons of these things I have. And if you happen to have bought something that's one of those things inside the coupon book, it counts.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's kind of like a mystery. Like, it's kind of like a fun mystery. You like, what's going to happen?
All of a sudden, it's like $2 off or whatever. You know, it's probably not that much. Pretty sure that's true. That's like 90%.
When you get gas and they say, like, would you like to enter your grocery store number?
Never.
You don't do that?
Never once have I done that.
What?
No.
Do you know how much money you're laying on the table?
I don't buy gas at the same place.
You just get go gas. Random places?
Yeah, I just buy gas wherever. I try to go to Costco the most.
Okay.
But I also go to this one.
So you have a lot of time on your hands.
This one is like has changed. This one on my route, it was a Mobil. I think now it's a Chevron. Right by the 55 and Irvine Boulevard. Not closer to Calvary. The one on the other side of the 55 away from Calvary.
Yeah, I know this one.
Yeah. Yeah. In that building next door is where the guy that would work on my guitars.
Oh, yeah.
Office is.
Okay.
He was really good. If you guys need his number, let me know. If you need your guitar set up.
Wait, why don't you? Good. It's like free money. It's like 10 cents off every gallon. You just type in your phone number. Why not?
But I don't.
You don't have enough time for that?
Then I have to take that to the grocery store or something?
No.
I don't understand.
Like, there's different grocery stores that are connected to gas stations.
Okay, Trader Joe's.
So
pretty much all I do.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's your problem.
Yeah.
Chevron's connected to Albertsons.
Oh, okay.
So if you shop at Albertsons, you start accruing these little points. And then when you're at Chevron, type in your phone number, and it'll give you like 20 cents up, 20 cents off at some point.
That's pretty cool. I only go to Albertsons or like that kind of a grocery store if I have to get something that they don't have at Target or Trader Joe's.
Wow.
I know. We're kind of, does that feel like some sort of weird, like hippie thing or something, like a Californian thing?
You said it.
Yeah, I know. I like California. I actually really do. I get super bummed out on people that don't like California.
I do too.
Like, you can have your politics. I think this place rules over some of the dumb places people move to.
I'm cool with anyone moving anywhere, but don't blow up the bridge on your way out.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't be like, hey, man, I love Texas. California's the worst.
Right. I've been to Texas, man. That place is trash.
We have some Texas listeners right now, so let's...
No, feel free. Like, come at me. podcast@calvarylife.org. Last week, I took down Disneyland. This week, I'm taking down Texas. Wow. It's awful.
Okay. Listener, that was Eric P. Wakeling.
Yes.
That was not Matt Doan. I know our voices kind of blend in annoyance, but... Yep.
mdoan@calvarylife.org.
No. I love Texas. Love the state of Texas. Laterno, Texas, my favorite. Waco, Texas.
Laterno, where's that?
I don't know.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I was just wondering if you did. I don't know where that is. Is that where... Never mind.
I don't know where anything is.
Oh, But like California, we've got, you can go surfing and snowboarding on the same day.
True.
Come on.
You ever done it?
No, I want to try it sometime though, really bad. I thought about it a lot.
Lily Doan's done it.
She has?
Yeah.
Ugh, I also,
last year.
So I got to do this. I want to mix in the skate park thing too. So whoa, you got to do surf, skate, snowboard, same day.
Huh?
I haven't skateboarded in a while.
Yeah, that could be dangerous. All three of those sound dangerous, actually.
The other two I'd be fine, but skateboarding has been a while.
Well, the equivalent
I used to
of
full-on skate half pipes and stuff, dude.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. It was awesome. I loved it.
Whoa, man.
It's been a
while. Skate half pipes? I do.
It's been over 30 years.
Would the equivalent for like a non-athlete, would that be like to build a snowman and a sandcastle in the same day?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And then like also like a rock pile. I don't know. That's like a skate as I could get, right? Like,
right.
So, yeah, but it's like, yeah, man. Yosemite, come on.
Yep.
Redwoods.
Yep.
Santa Cruz.
Yep. For sure.
I just said Santa Cruz because that's where you're from.
Yep.
Although Santa Cruz, we just talked about this. Hmm. You can walk from the town to the forest. Did mm-hmm. you know that one time? Sorry, I'm like hyper all of a sudden.
We've had a long day here, everybody. We're sorry.
A lot of meetings today.
We're stir crazy.
One time, mm-hmm. my friends and I, mm-hmm. with a friend of mine that lives in Santa Cruz.
Okay.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Jeremy?
Yeah.
Yep.
We were at his house, mm-hmm. and we decided that we were going to cook a meal with only things that we found in the forest that walking distance. And we did it. We full on foraged for
that's a way to die.
Herbs and mushrooms and grasses and stuff. And we ate all the plants that we found. And that was our dinner.
You are a hippie.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow. That is fun. That would be fun.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah, he is a good guy. Yeah. What else could you do? Like, is there things you could do, like just to make a meal out of something? Like the forest, you could go like.
Yeah. Be careful, friends.
You know,
this guy that we know named Jeremy or Jeremiah,
he understands.
He has knowledge that maybe you don't. And I'm an Eagle Scout, so
oh, yeah, that's true.
If you don't have either an Eagle Scout ranking mm-hmm. or a weird friend, mm-hmm. you can't do this.
That's not advisable.
I also took outdoor survival at Biola.
Wow.
Yeah,
that was a class you took.
Yeah, dude, it counted as a PE. And we had to go. We got dropped off in the wilderness at night, and we had to spend the night with no, like nothing, just ourselves, just our bodies, nothing. Yep. We don't have a backpack full of stuff.
Wow.
We just had to go and survive.
Where'd you get dropped off
for the night? It was just like out in the local mountain somewhere. But here's
Garden Grove.
Here was no. Like out towards Big Bear or whatever. Okay. But we got dropped off, and it dumped snow. So I literally like built a shelter.
That could get dangerous.
But then they actually came in the middle of the night and got us because they were scared of liability issues
for sure.
If someone of us died.
Yeah, that would not be good.
And then what's so crazy is, my wife works at Orange Lutheran. The person that's the CEO of Orange Lutheran, her name is Mary Scott. Her husband was my outdoor survival teacher at Biola.
What?
Yes, dude.
Wow.
Isn't this amazing?
Full circle.
I know. And I met him a couple of years ago when she started working at Olu, and
is his name Michael?
No.
Michael Scott?
I didn't even catch on to what you're doing with the Scott thing there. Yeah. Well played.
Thank you. I had to explain the last name though.
All right. I need to like take a breath. You talk about something.
Well, I think this would be a great men's retreat. What if, let's tell Tim about this.
Yes.
That next 2025 men's retreat, we just get taken like in a van load.
By Lloyd Peckham.
Yes.
Yes.
And we just get blindfolded and sent somewhere, and we have to like find our way back to Santa Ana.
I wonder if dudes would like sign up for that.
I bet 100 guys would.
Let's throw that out. Let's float that idea.
Yep.
Also, this could be a test to see if Tim Nellis listens to the podcast.
This could be a great test. Let's see if he does.
Let him know, guys. I mean, if you talk to him.
But, I mean, Desiree Elrod listens to this podcast.
Oh, man, yeah. Desiree Elrod just came in here earlier, you guys, and she unloaded on us.
Yes. Desiree, if you're walking, listening to this podcast right now, first of all, thanks for choosing this to listen to on your valuable sacred walk.
She has a very close family member who now works for Disney Corporation.
She came hard at us at Disney.
Yeah.
And kind of our knowledge of the
supernatural
spiritual world.
Yeah, realm was lower than it should have been desired. She basically knew how to answer all the things that we said we didn't know, and she didn't know why we didn't consult someone.
And Desiree, Yeah. Right. She's rightfully right. So. Yeah. You should have come at us hard, and you did, and we deserve it. And please keep holding us accountable.
Yes. It was very, just so everyone doesn't confuse it, it was very much in fun.
Yes.
I think.
Oh, yeah.
No,
Desiree is
we loved it.
Yeah. One of the most fun, playful people yeah. here on our staff. We yeah. love serving with her.
But it also did. We deserved it, too. Yep. It was yep. it was well played. There's also someone else I want to do, since we're doing sort of shout-outs
and staff?
Call-outs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a new staff.
Okay.
Marissa Del uh-huh. Vega.
Uh-huh.
If you're listening, just so you know, I interviewed her. She's going to be working in our nursery preschool
Let's
ministry.
Go.
Yeah, early cool. childhood. Yes, she's amazing.
Yeah.
But she used to work for Disney
uh-huh.
also. And she said, oh, yeah, there's the four keys. I told her I was going to talk about this on the pod. She's like, uh-huh. yeah, it's like how there's the four keys of Disney. Because I was talking about like our values.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, what are the four keys? And she was like, she had no idea.
She's a new mom. So she has sleepless nights. We got to give her a break.
I have a note here. I have an email I sent myself that says, Marissa, four keys, make fun of her. That's all it says. Because okay. it was in front of her that I sent that to myself in front of her. That was one of our two emails we got to the CalvaryLife.org
was,
podcast.
You're reminding yourself to make fun of somebody yes. on the, okay.
So Marissa says she listens regularly. So this moment is for you. So try and, you know, we'd like to hear more about these four
yeah,
keys.
Yeah, tell us the four keys these of Disney. Maybe we could incorporate
or
block them, or I don't know.
Or block them. Yeah. Who knows? You never know if like Disney could be something cool or something really weird. But yep.
What does she do there?
Uh-oh.
Pretty thorough interview, huh?
I feel like this is weird. Sometimes here at Calvary, we interview people that we've like kind of known for a little while.
Yeah.
And then I tend to just sort of mess around in those ones,
yeah.
you know, and this was a little bit of one of those ones. So she's really great.
My cousin, one of my cousins, I hope he doesn't listen to this, but recently got let go at Disney.
Oh no.
Because he was driving. I really hope he doesn't listen to this, but he was driving a cart on Main Street.
Yeah.
And he hit a stroller.
Luckily,
the stroller was empty, but that's an instant fireable offense at Disney. If you hit a stroller or with
it
your
feels
cart.
like a reasonable bar of success / failure for taking out strollers. I don't know. Now here's what they are. Ready?
Uh-huh. Four.
And she actually did tell me.
Oh, she did.
She looked it up and she had to look it up.
Okay.
She told me safety, courtesy, show, and efficiency. But the thing was, safety, and this is in priority order. So uh-huh. this is kind of an interesting thing, actually, I thought, because safety is primary. Our show is not primary. The safety of our guests. That's why.
Okay.
That's why he got fired for taking out the stroller.
Yep.
And then courtesy is next.
Okay.
So we still are courteous to our guests, mm-hmm. even if that like takes away from the show
okay.
in some way. And then the show. So just the whole thing of the Disney show.
Magic.
And then efficiency is after that. So
okay.
We want things to work well, but the show is even more important and all that safety rather than just getting guests through the line or whatever.
Interesting, yeah.
I don't know. I'm not saying that we're not like Disney apologists here. Trust me, guys. I'm definitely not a Disney apologist. I just got in trouble for last week being mean to all the Disney people. But that's kind of, I think it's interesting to look at certain like different companies' values or like how they do training.
Mm-hmm.
So,
onboarding.
Onboarding, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're not incorporating those into our onboarding practices here at Calvary or something, but
safety would be good.
Plus, we would never say the show.
That's true. That's true. Oh, we call it a platform, not a stage.
Yeah, I trust me. I heard you on Sunday. You went so you paused. You were like, what did you say? Like whether you're a platform speaker or something like that?
Yes.
And then you paused and you didn't look at me though. Did you want to look at me? You wanted to look at me, didn't you? Were you scared to look at me that because you'd break character?
That's no character.
Not character. You know what I mean? Laugh. Because you're trying to be sort of serious, but you also knew what you were doing in
no,
that moment.
No, I was.
You knew what you were doing.
I was trying. This is getting way behind the curtain here. That phrase popped in my head. And I was like, oh, I like that. Pushing. I think I said pushing a broom and platform. I was like, oh, I did the two P's.
Oh.
And so I was kind of pausing to make sure, I think I said it right. And then I just moved on.
So if you guys don't recall, we've talked about this, but Matt Doan thinks it's better to say platform instead of stage.
In the context of our church services.
Yeah. because inherently the word stage is bad and platform's good.
But yeah, you've attacked the Achilles heel of this argument, though, and I have to agree. I don't have a defense for it, and that is, well, people have social media platforms, and
build
that's kind of all about—
your personal platform.
Right, so I don't have a response to that, but stage does feel like— stage is like doing a performance at a high school musical.
Interesting. So that's a stage?
Yep.
Stage is a high school musical.
Yep.
Okay.
So there's probably a third way.
Because you don't say, I'm going to build my personal stage, unless you have one like in your backyard. You're like,
it should be weird.
Maybe Lauren McGonigal probably has one.
Lauren definitely has a stage in her backyard. She's like, Sam, gather out here. I'm going to do Macbeth.
Yeah. And then Sam's like, no, let's do Star Wars. This is good. Man, we were taking shots at people today.
Oh, boy. With this, Jordan, feel free to edit all of the last 20 minutes. Do you know we did have our second ever edit on last time's podcast, or 2 times ago podcast?
Oh, yeah?
So we've been edited twice. One was a story about a dog that I told that both you and Jordan felt like wasn't appropriate.
Yeah.
And then the second one was just 2 weeks ago.
I know. This is what's crazy is— we're not going to talk about it, obviously, because it was edited out, but I don't even remember what it was.
So we were trying to call each other with our phones.
Oh, yeah. Was it just too long?
And it was just taking too long. And then the payoff of that call just never really worked out. So Jordan just made an executive decision.
Oh, yeah.
Jordan Cranda, the director of Cavalier Life Podcast, just spliced it.
Because we were trying to call each other, and then, like, for some reason, our phones couldn't call each other.
It wasn't working. And it was because this podcast is in the bunker of Calvary, so it's—
No, I think it's because you don't like me.
No, let's not even try this again, because it didn't work last time, because you're tempting me right now to try to call you. And this is what got edited last time. Oh, no.
Is it ringing?
It's ringing.
Oh, it worked. Answer it.
Well, it's just going to be you.
Yeah, but put it on speaker.
Hello?
Oh, look at that. You guys, it works. So we didn't—
this again, this is the part Jordan edited out.
It's crazy though.
No,
it's cool.
Stop. This is the part Jordan didn't want. Okay.
Hang up. But we didn't get to that point last year, guys, or last time. Sorry. Good grief. All right. We should transition. Take
yes.
a breath.
Yes. That was a wild 20 minutes right there.
Yesterday we talked about Luke 9:46-50. It was a pleasant passage of scripture.
Yes.
Discusses primarily our humility. Where we want to welcome, just like we'd welcome a child, we welcome Jesus.
Yep.
Am I saying it right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like yesterday when I was with B afterwards, I was like, let the little children come to me. She's like, I don't know if that's right. And then I was like, wait, it's like, it was like, be like a child.
I feel like Marie and I had a similar discussion. Marie says, I think the passage is more than just about kids. And I was like, yeah, but
I'm not trying to be mean to you right now.
The example was kids, but she goes, yeah, but isn't it? So it was actually a fruitful discussion. People were talking about the passage beyond.
Dude, for B and I to talk about the passage beyond.
Big time.
Other than like
success.
Yeah, being like brats or whatever.
Success.
But yeah, welcome. I liked— my favorite part was when you you said that welcome in the Greek means welcome.
So yesterday—
tell me more about that.
Yes. Yeah, so I had the privilege, opportunity to hang out with the Pazminos and our middle schoolers in Ecuador last week. Arrived back in the States at 5 o'clock on Saturday night.
You're so giving and I'm so mean. I'm going to be nice to you eventually. I promise.
Keep it's going. Okay. I can take this.
Okay.
And so my faculties were a little dimmed. After
that sentence was just so funny, though. You had to admit, you probably even felt it inside your own head, right?
I was cringing.
Yeah.
I meant to say welcome means hospitality.
Oh.
And for some reason, the word welcome just replaced it.
Replaced it? Okay. I was like, why did he tell us that? Like, that's what I was more like. Like, why did— if welcome means welcome, you don't need to tell us that it's that in the Greek. It's fine. Like, it's just a word then.
I don't know.
Oh, it was so funny. But I like— welcome means hospitality is really good. Yeah, it's good. The overarching, I think the, we can come full around to things, but I think the big, like the game winner was this the push and the broom.
Yeah.
And
which I actually it's still on there on the platform.
Still on the
I gotta go get
still
it.
Still on stage? That's crazy.
I know.
I don't think as a couple of points of order before we get into the serious part. I don't think that the crew that cleans on Monday mornings, God bless them for how much they do.
Yeah.
I don't think they take the vacuums up on the stage.
Because you notice, like...
Could you not see?
No.
Dude, there were clouds of dust.
Oh, there was?
Yes, it was huge, like big, pretty big clouds of dust. As you would push it, it would be like...
Oh, so people saw that?
Yes.
Oh, that's crazy.
It was crazy, and it was kind of cool looking, but then... You started getting kind of close to the communion station right where I sit, kind of. And I was like, no, don't sweep into the communion juice.
It's going to be tainted.
Well, just all that gross dirt and dust going into the
communion. So funny.
But you stopped like right before it would have been
God's
too,
grace.
Too late.
That's
yes.
just the Lord yeah. just working.
Yeah.
I could not see that.
That's crazy that you couldn't see that.
I could not see it.
Because it looked pretty cool, but we were just like, dang, I don't know when's the last time
it must
thing.
Be. It must be the lights. You know, yeah. as a light, I bet that's what it is. So
yeah,
you can,
because right.
you know, like when you shine a flashlight, you can see dust in the air.
I totally do.
Yeah. That's so good. Oh, that's so good.
But I had a member of, this is a pretty intense story. So I had a member of God's House Care, which is a crew of retired folks
sure.
who help clean the church.
Anyone's welcome.
On Monday mornings. Anyone's welcome. If you have time on Monday mornings, now you don't have to be retired, but it just tends to be those who are. And... So an older man, I was at an event last night and he said, man, that moment was a gut punch for me. He said, I help with God's House Care and I've been doing mopping. And he said, I have been doing the mopping, helping with this. And I thought to myself, I used to be an important man at my work and now I'm doing this.
Whoa.
And then, which was kind of this like, whoa, you know, like. This sort of crazy reality of this, like the life cycle of how we can go from these moments and then we go into retirement and we can kind of lose some of this, this purpose or identity that we had. But then he said, but I've realized, and like Matt helped me realize how much this servanthood and this kind of this humble act of service is what is the important work.
Wow.
You know?
That's cool.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, that is.
So I want you to hear that of just like, that's the impact.
Sure.
That message was having, or that moment even was having in people's lives.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, really cool, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that's just the beauty of, when you really get into the teachings of Jesus, you start realizing just how applicable it is to your just daily life, right? Like, I think sometimes it's like, yeah, we celebrate last week the crucifixion and the resurrection, and that changes everything. But then also just the day-to-day of some of these teachings that Jesus gave his disciples, like, man, it hits us in the same place.
Yeah, yeah, so, exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So like the overarching theme that you're, because also that part with the kids is like the welcome.
Yep.
Welcome the little child on my behalf. Whoever does that welcomes me. You welcome me, you welcome the Father.
Yep.
And then who's least among you is the greatest. So that's where you honed in on this humility.
I just riffed
humility,
on that.
Which is, that's the right thing to do, I think. I'm not, that was good. Because they're arguing about thinking they're most important man at work, you know.
Yeah, be encouraged. If you're a boss and you have employees that aren't getting along.
Yeah.
Man, or Jesus even had.
Yeah, exactly. But like, also... More often, we're the one wanting to be great.
Yeah.
That's more often who we are rather than like the boss with the people wanting to be great. And so that humility is the check on that. And so kind of go off on that.
So really have to read that. Just, I don't think I did a great job of this, but just unpacking the whole kind of lineage of what Luke's put together in Luke 9.
Yeah.
The linear kind of story. So they come off the Mount of Transfiguration. I did mention this, and there's only three that come up with Jesus to that place. So the other disciples maybe are already feeling a little left out.
Yeah.
Then the disciples try to cast this demon out of this demon-possessed boy, and they're not successful at doing it. So all of a sudden, there's a sense of like, wow, beginning of chapter 9 describes them having great success in just demonstrating the kingdom power wherever they went. Now they're, some are invited, some aren't, to this, you know, kind of special moment, and then they find like they're not effective in ministry. So I'm sure there was some questioning of like, wait, are only few of us effective? Like, was it because of, you know, Peter was with us last time and now he's not, or what? Like, mm-hmm. who is the person that's like kind of the closest or the most powerful here? Mm-hmm. And they're naturally also thinking of Jesus in his kingdom, and they're thinking of earthly kingdom at this point. Mm-hmm. Who's going to be elevated? Who's going to be his vice president? Who's exactly. going to be the Secretary of Defense, so to speak? So it's like they're already beginning to kind of like plan.
Peter, Secretary of Defense.
Right? He's got the sword.
or no, the
Sons of Thunder.
Simon or the Zealot.
Oh, yeah, Zealot. Yeah, he's already prepared. If your name is a Zealot, you got to be the Secretary of Defense.
That's what he is in The Chosen, too. He's like, he kind of acts like that in The Chosen.
Bodyguard.
Yeah. It's like the bodyguard. He gets like a little too excited about being the bodyguard, too. It's kind of funny.
So, anyway. Yeah, they've had some failure in ministries. So they're kind of questioning that. And I think they are truly like setting themselves up for the cabinet that they're thinking that Jesus mm-hmm. is going to set up. Mm-hmm. And so they're arguing who's going to be where. And then Jesus just turns the tables.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. So it's humility is one of those things that's like the easy to say, hard to live. Yeah. Just because we live in a. When a win culture, mm-hmm. you know, let's, you got to mm-hmm. win, you got to be the best, you got to be the brightest, you got to mm-hmm. dominate. Yeah. And, and it's like so hard because it's like that rub between like, it doesn't mean don't be successful, right. Don't be good at what you do, yeah. some of that kind of stuff. But how can you elevate others like as you do that? Mm-hmm. I'm super curious if we got to ask people also to respond podcast@calvarylife.org. If you can hear the Calvary Christian School musical practice that's happening in the worship center next to us.
I can hear it.
it's
a little background.
I can kind of hear it. So I don't know if they can hear it or not, but this could be something we can help us for the future.
Yep.
But if that's what you hear, it's not outside your car.
It's not Matt humming.
yeah, exactly. But yeah, trying to like live out humility.
Yep.
I've seen people that are some of the most successful in their work. People tend to be people too that just are constantly like reflecting light.
Yeah.
Like, so as the light shines on them, they reflect it to others. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's maybe a cool way to think mm-hmm. about that because mm-hmm. you want to like do well, but you want to like use that success to mm-hmm. help shine that light towards other people.
Yeah,
right?
For sure. Yeah, I mean, without getting into like this whole idea of like, oh, we're just trying to be virtuous for virtue's sake. Like, I think the idea of humility is patterned after Jesus and his life, Philippians 2, which we talked about. And
do you want to answer the call from Marie? I see your phone.
Yeah, it does.
She's calling you right now.
She must be listening live to the podcast. Can you listen live? Is that happening?
Can you imagine if you answered that right now? What do you think she'd do? Oh, she'd be super bummed, huh?
I think I'd have Jordan edit it.
Okay, I'm sorry. Keep going.
But yeah, so we're not trying to, you know, practice humility to somehow grow in the grace of God or like, mm-hmm. you know, merit some achievement, which actually is funny. Humility actually in itself can become a prideful pursuit.
Oh, sure.
In yeah. some ways. But as we watch Jesus and he just gives up, you know, this idea of equality, and serves people, washes feet. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, as his followers, we have the Spirit of God in us. We should naturally start kind of leaning those ways, looking how we can be a person that when we walk in a room, it's not necessarily here I am, but here you are.
Yeah.
So it's just that others focused mentality. And I think that's such a crazy countercultural way to live.
Yeah.
That we're just going to, that's going to be a way, as Matthew 5 says, to let your light shine.
Yeah.
Is by just being a person who's more interested than interesting.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you said that Dale Carnegie quote as yeah. like almost a throwaway lineup on stage. You know, right, you just said right. it that quickly on yeah. stage, but I want people to like really hear that. Like, mm-hmm. so maybe break that down, what you think that means, mm-hmm. that be more interested than interesting.
Yeah, I think in life we can just get so self-focused, self-centered, that wherever we go, we're just thinking, how does this impact me?
Yeah.
So how can I get to the front of the line? How can I get through this quickest? How can I make an impression?
Yeah.
And again, there's times like if you're working in sales right now, you gotta be assertive. You gotta like, we're not talking about someone that's like a wallflower or letting people stomp on you.
But from what I've seen, sorry to just mm-hmm. interject, but I've seen even like good salespeople, I think are probably more interested yes, than interesting.
Totally.
So you're not trying to be the schmoozy, like have to have the best line here and there all yep. the time, but you're caring about the other person. I'm interested in you. I'm interested in my customer's needs.
Yep.
How can I meet your needs? Not how can you think I'm the best.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's,
yeah,
I think it probably applies like in all sorts of areas of life.
Yep. Yeah. For
and
sure.
Yeah. Sure. You have to be, you can't be. And that's why I think this, like this, there's a certain definition of humility doesn't mean being like beaten up by everybody.
Right.
Or
that's
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not a doormat.
Yeah.
Matt, gosh, this is a, you always hate to give examples of your own humility because it feels like it's being prideful. But yeah, a few weeks ago I was talking to this guy and he's like, yeah, I met Steve Garvey, who's running for U.S. Senate.
Oh yeah.
And I met Steve Garvey and yeah, he was such a good guy and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Well, I've spent some time with Steve Garvey as well back in my little
day. When you worked for the Dodgers.
But I just felt like, you know what? This is his story. He's excited about it. Like, I'm not going to like, oh, that's, by the way, I've done that too.
Or yes.
It's like, you know, I just let that guy enjoy his story and I'm enjoying it with him. And that's a dumb example, but it's like, how can we be people that just lift other people up and not story top, not be people who are just running people over with our own, I don't know.
Yeah, I think a big mistake that people make in their interpersonal communication, and I know I can make this mistake myself often, is we want to, when someone's sharing something with us, we want to relate to them. And so we think the way to relate to
them. That happened to me one time too. I was like, so.
Exactly. Is that though? Exactly. Is that we think like that actually helps them feel like we understand. And I think it's okay to do that if you can, let's say you're having a 20-minute conversation with somebody. Man, the musical's getting loud. if you have a 20-minute conversation with someone and then, but it's them needing to share their need or their grief, and you share for a minute and a half about how you've experienced some similar griefs in that 20 minutes, that's probably okay. You know, or like something like, you're right, like, oh man, that is really brutal. I remember when I had to go through that with my mom or whatever, but then let's go back to you. You know, you tell me, I think that's where, like, we have to be careful with that, right? To just keep that focus on that person that was in that moment of need.
Yeah.
And we can help them understand, yes, that we can relate and we're there with them. I mean, I almost wonder if we should stop the podcast.
Someone's nailing that note right there. It's really, no, it's just background. It's just background. Background. We're music. Good. Like, we're good. Yeah. Come to the CCS play April 25th.
Is that what it is?
You actually know. I don't know. Okay.
A bunch of people. That'd be amazing if people showed up April 25th. They're like, there's nothing here right now, man.
Bro, I know that's not going to happen because every time we mention something on here, feel like doesn't move the needle at all.
We mentioned Easter. There's a bunch of people here.
That's true.
It was just all from the pod. No one was going to come to Easter except for from the pod. But yeah, like, so I don't know. I just think humility can play itself out in these different ways like that.
Yep.
I agree. I used to love Steve Garvey when I was a kid.
Mr. First Baseman, Mr. Dodger, whatever.
Yeah, dude. I was into him. Even though I was an Angels fan as a kid, I still liked him a lot. I have no idea like what he's like. That's the thing. Like, sometimes you get bummed when you, I'm not saying, I don't know anything about Steve Garvey, but sometimes like where how you work with the Dodgers or whatever, and like you got these people that you idolize, and then all of a sudden you realize there's always going to be a few of them that aren't great, you know?
So, yeah. So humility is something that I think we can all grow in, and it's a constant check of Spirit of God saying, hey, I want to challenge you and invite you to step more into this. And the podcast is good for this because we can share stuff that we left on the editing room floor.
Oh, hey.
So
you got some more good
I just
stuff.
Came up with 12 ways to just live out humility in our life. And I'm sure our listeners.
Sorry. I don't have crickets, but I have that. No, this is good. Go.
But it's okay. So I got this from another pastor. So this is just literally copy and paste, but I liked it.
There's been some issues with plagiarism in the pastoral community lately.
I was going to say it if I had it, but it's routinely confess your sins to God, acknowledge your sin to others, take wrongs patiently, actively submit to authority, receive correction and feedback from others graciously, accept a lowly place, purposely associate with people of lower status than you, choose to serve others, be quick to forgive, cultivate a grateful heart, purpose to speak well of others, treat pride as a condition that always necessitates embracing the cross. So that was like a really good list. There's like scriptures that are attached to each of those.
Oh, that's cool.
But I just feel like, okay, as I grow in humility, I want to be a type of person that, yeah, treats pride as a condition to be crucified with the flesh, that cultivates a grateful heart, that accepts correction and like embraces it. Doesn't crush me. It actually is something that is welcomed.
Yeah. Accepting correction is one of those things that's like, it can be so hard. Cause you could be like, I want to take it good. I want to receive this well, but totally. You're just like, I disagree with that part and I'm mad at you now.
Totally.
But
I'm not defensive.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like actually so important. Yep. So important. And like, I know for me, even, I don't think I do that very well, but I've had these few experiences that I've talked about a lot where someone did correct me or said like, hey, aren't treating people well in this certain situation or whatever.
Yep.
And it's like genuinely probably like changed the sort of trajectory of my, even my sort of quote unquote professional life, like the way I am around the office or whatever, and just like has made some of those things so much better.
Yes.
And so like, that's where it's like, we really hope, I guess it's like, you need to like be able to see what's going to be for your ultimate good in the God honoring Christ-like sense.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's like where if you can't receive correction, you're never going to be able to grow.
Yeah.
You're never going to be able to be this a person of humility.
Right.
Because you're just constantly thinking you're fine. Mm-hmm. If you think you're fine, you're like, so not.
Totally.
And don't need growth. It's totally. Yeah, it's brutal.
Yep.
Anyway. Cool. All right.
I think that's Luke 9, 46 through 50. Oh, we did talk about John responds right away, the disciple John. And he's like, okay, that's cool, Jesus. Anyway, there's some guys doing stuff in your name. I don't think they should because they're not part of us.
I know.
That's like actually the voice I think John used.
Yeah, exactly. Not part of our group. I like the way that at least the NLT translates it.
Right,
like,
exactly.
They're not part of our group.
Right, exactly. Which is cool. I didn't say this either, but Peter's part of that discussion. And later in 1 Peter, he talks about the Apostle Paul, who was not part of that group.
Mm-hmm.
And he really lifts up Paul. He goes, listen to Paul. I know some of his teachings are hard.
Isn't that where you refer to the scripture?
Yeah. So it's cool to see even the growth in a guy like Peter, who was in that discussion of like, they're out of our group. And then he's lifting someone up like that. And then John, I mentioned too, like, you know, in 1 John is talking about like Jesus, love others, serve others. And so obviously the arc of growth in their lives is they receive the Holy Spirit, the permanent dwelling of the Holy Spirit. But in that moment, John's just like, doesn't get it.
Yeah.
He just like has this profound teaching from Jesus. And he's like, all right. Anyway, I have a question.
Exactly. And I like that because, you know, it's kind of a callback to Easter a little bit too, because Easter was all about how the resurrection changed Peter's life and his future.
Yes.
And then you kind of did a similar thing with with John in that first John 3 passage.
Right, right.
Forget, what is that passage?
First John 3:16. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember. Yeah. I love how.
Yeah.
It's like so mind-blowing how John 3:16 and First John 3:16.
You could just live on those two verses.
I know,
you literally could live the Christian life on those two verses.
Yeah, they're so similar. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, that was just really cool.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so John in later years able to write similarly of like in the way of how the love of God and the sacrifice of God changed everything for him and for everyone. But it's really cool.
Mm-hmm. So that's we're getting into this new series.
Yeah. The Way of Jesus.
The Way of Jesus. Isn't that drawing cool?
It's so cool.
Who did that?
Simple pencil drawing. I think it was Chels.
Wow.
Chelsea Cummings,
who just had a baby.
Yeah, who just had a baby. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I saw the baby. I met the baby.
Yeah, tell us that story.
So, yeah, I know. I had to, for just reasons that are private, I had to be at the hospital on Easter Sunday.
Yes.
And as I'm walking into the hospital right after church on Easter Sunday, I run into Chelsea Cummings and her husband Wes with their newborn baby in the lobby.
As they're leaving?
As they were leaving.
Whoa,
they're
just what a like, moment.
Yeah, waiting to get in the car.
That, like, oh, Eric came to see us off.
No, because I actually had been texting them to see if, like, I'm like, wait a minute, are you guys at the hospital? Because they had texted, they had posted a picture of their baby. Mm-hmm. And I know that we all have the same medical insurance.
Yeah.
And so I thought maybe they might be at the same one I was going to. So anyway,
that's great.
I'm okay. Everyone in my family's okay. There's just some reasons we had to be there.
Sure.
So, but yeah, so that was really cool to see, like, to be able to see someone's baby still at the hospital. That's like, you know, the ultimate earliest
you can
possibly see the little baby. So
you actually came and visited Marie and I and Lily in the hospital.
Isn't that awesome?
When we had Lily, you brought like a little teddy bear that, or bear or something.
Dang, that was nice of me.
Yeah, that was super. What a pastoral visit. Guys, don't you all want Eric to visit you when you have your babies in the hospital?
I'll bring teddy bears. Anyone invites me, I don't want to come in uninvited to your hospital bed. Yeah.
I actually had. So there's Tim McAvaney's a doctor that goes here to Calvary, dear friend of mine and yours. And so when we had Eden 8-9 years ago, he was working in the like floor above us. And so he texted me. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, nothing. I'm like, Marie, the baby's asleep. Do you mind if I go play with Tim? So I went up to his office. And we shot Nerf hoops in his.
That's hilarious.
In his office.
That's all he does, basically.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
He saves people's lives.
Yeah.
And shoots hoops.
I mean, they just kind of push some buttons and stuff.
That's probably what we do. That people think they do. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how people say, like, you just work one day a week.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
No, dude.
So, yeah, we're going to be in Luke 9 through 12.
Wait, no, let me say something else about Tim.
Go ahead. Go.
So, Tim McAvaney, who's this incredible cardiologist, I think, I had sent him a picture because my dad had been in the hospital had some heart issues and, or it was actually like for some sort of like not sure what it was issues. And they were doing like a ultrasound on my dad's heart or something, or I forget what it's called, but whatever. This is how much I know. I'm stupid. But there's some. And I just like took a picture because I was like thinking of, I said to Tim, just said, thinking of you. It was just like a picture of like my dad and like this person doing this like procedure. But I didn't realize you could kind of see a monitor in it. And then the hospital had yet to diagnose what was wrong with my dad. And Tim just texts back this thing of, oh, wow, I can actually see it. Looks like it's blah, 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 blah. And he like
nailed it,
nailed the diagnosis that it took the hospital like 2 days to figure out.
Incredible.
And he took it off a text.
Brilliant.
So he's maybe the world's best cardiologist.
Brilliant. Yeah. We should get him a coffee mug that says that very thing.
The world's best cardiologist. I have a mug that I received from our staff that says world's okayest boss. I don't know if it was just from Josh Simpson or from our staff, but it was definitely from Josh Simpson.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. So anyway, Luke 9. Yeah, we're hitting into the rest of this series, The Way of Jesus, because next... You're preaching again this Sunday, full disclosure.
Yep.
And you are preaching on this verse. I like, or at least a portion of it's this verse where Jesus, it says something like Jesus now set his eyes towards Jerusalem set his gaze or something like that. Yeah.
Yep.
Towards Jerusalem. Yeah. So it's this turn in the story.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, so. For sure. Excited to break that down, and then we'll be all the way through Luke 12. I think I looked at it correctly till like beginning of summer, right? So next couple months, we'll be sitting Luke 9 through 12 if you want to kind of read that section to get familiar with it. Or does anybody still have their, what was that?
We're Luke 10 now, right?
Yeah,
No, we still have a couple
still
more.
Still finishing up a little bit of Luke 9.
And 51 to 62.
Yep.
But this week's just 51 to 56.
No, 62.
You're going all the way through?
Yep.
Oh, okay, I see. I see how we did this. You can tell how much attention I pay to your passages.
Well, I don't think you need to unless I ask a very pertinent question.
Remember how we said if you're preaching about once a month, you have an in-depth knowledge of every fourth chapter of the Bible.
Yeah, that's basically, if you want to hit me up, I can tell you about every fourth chapter of Luke. That's great.
That's really good. Okay, cool. This was a great day.
Yep.
And I'm trying to think what we got coming up. We did we did unveil this whole Forward in Faith thing that we're in a season of raising funds towards some projects. I'm not going to bore you with talking about, not say it's boring, but I'm not going to like go on the podcast about that right now. But I do want you to know about this event we have, this Vision Prayer Night and Dessert coming up Wednesday, April 24th.
Yep.
So that's super, super important that we really want everyone there. And we want to have as much 100% participation in people committing to a process of prayer about this, no matter what, how much they would give, if anything at all. But that 100% participation in prayer. And so this event would be so key for you to come and really learn how can I be praying about this and how can I be involved. And It was funny. Like, I made that little joke on Sunday because it was freezing.
It was freezing.
B said my nose was cold, and she was like, I was actually like kind of warming my arm, like kind of like rubbing my arms, kind of get warm. It was cold in there because currently, right now, I think we're going to be able to kind of patch things up to be able to work again with the heat, but it was like we weren't able to have heat in the room. Yes.
And it was cold just outside this weekend.
And then it was cold outside. So it was just pumping in outside air, and or just being just whatever the air was inside. And yeah, it was wild. And I remember I came to work, I forget if it was like sometime last week, and I think there were 7 vehicles from the like air conditioning repair company here. And that's not even to replace that. That's not to work on replacing it. We still have to do all that. So there's just a lot going on. So anyway, just appreciate your prayers for God's provision and then also praying through how you can be involved in this and just more news to come on that front. And we would genuinely appreciate your emails, podcast@calvarylife.org. Let us know corrections, retractions.
Yep.
You want to just, you know, you're having like an issue with your roommate. You want to just like hash it out. We can do that anonymously.
Like we would give advice?
Like you and Marie.
like, hey, what should I do in this situation?
Yeah. Life advice sort of situations.
Okay.
I've like wanted to have like a life advice segment.
I know. I don't.
But I think in the local church, it's just not going to work.
Yeah.
People don't want to. I think it's just like you can't be anonymous.
It's too real.
If you're on a huge national podcast with millions and millions of listeners or something.
True.
You can be anonymous because not everybody listens to that random podcast.
That's true.
Even though it's kind of funny to say, like, the podcast that 200 people listen to, it's going to be worse.
Well, it'd be like, I guess we're looking for more like, how do I make a dinner out of things I find in the forest?
Yes, dude.
That's the kind of stuff we're looking for. Not like more serious stuff like, you know, how do I solve reaching my teen?
Yeah, but, or I think if you got some, like, some weird, funny situation at work that you want to work through, if you've got, I don't know, could be some sort of dilemma that you're facing. You're trying to make a decision between two things.
Yes.
And we will do anything.
Coke or Pepsi.
Yes. We will do any of that anonymously. If you feel like Big Coke's going to come after you or Big Pepsi's coming after you and you just want to be anonymous, then that's fine.
Yep.
Okay. You can talk about Matt's clothing.
Yep.
If you have questions about the clothes that Matt wears on stage.
I actually had somebody today. I went and bought coffee. Yeah. And I'm wearing a yellow sweatshirt right now.
Mm-hmm.
They said that color looks good on you. I didn't know what to say.
Trying to decide what I think. I mean, you're... Stop. I feel like...
Stop.
You know what I'm going to say.
Yeah,
huh?
Stop.
If I ever compliment, I always... Matt knows I'm going to say, you're a good looking guy. Because he hates when I say that. It's so funny, you guys.
Makes me uncomfortable.
I love it. I recorded a podcast in here without you.
Okay.
How do you feel?
Is it coming out?
It's not our podcast.
Oh.
Greater Europe Mission, the training sessions.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So they're like have some podcasts. Obviously podcasts anybody can listen to, but I think it's like training sessions for like Greater Europe Mission missionaries to listen
to. No way.
Yeah. And I was talking about how to be more engaged with your church as a missionary.
You were just solo?
It was me and the host, Jacob.
Oh, like on Zoom or something?
No, he was here. He was in town.
What?
Yeah, he DM'd both of us on Instagram, but you never responded.
Was he sitting in my chair?
Yep. He had those headphones on his ears, too. I don't even know what's going on with his...
Yeah, I should have...
I don't know what his health situation is.
Wait, DM on Instagram? I don't think I've gotten a DM on Instagram since... I don't know if I've ever gotten one.
Oh, that, you guys, this is going to be great.
Okay.
That means Don's probably got like 200 DMs on his Instagram.
Okay, let's look this up real quick. You know this is definitely going to be edited as well.
Yeah, do you know how to do this?
It's just in messages, right?
Like that top right little thing?
Yeah.
That's a DM is a message, same thing.
Yeah, bro. I got nothing. I don't know who you're talking about.
Jacob and Matt.
Maybe a different Matt.
What?
I got nothing.
That's crazy. I bet it's in your... So sometimes what it can go into is requests.
Oh.
So see that word requests under the little pictures, like above your top message?
Uh-huh.
Click on request. You have one there?
Uh-huh. I do. Oh, there's lots.
Most of the time that's like spam or someone that's not following you that messages you, that kind of a thing.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. That was exciting.
So that was our IT section of the podcast.
That's what we should have every time. Life advice and then IT section.
I do an IT section every Friday, I had breakfast with my dad, who's 91 years old, and there's definitely a little IT moment. I'm like, he's always giving me his phone. It's like, hey, can you fix this?
Yeah, totally.
And you know, most of the time I can. Sometimes I can't. And I'm like, oh, I don't know, man. Sorry. Yeah.
Well, that's when you call in the heavy hitters. That's when you call in your daughters.
<It's> exactly, like... dude. Although I don't, I think the Gen Zers are all talk. They don't actually know anything.
I don't know. Sometimes I get blown away with the tech hacks that the next gen has.
Or maybe they want to, I think maybe my kids want to act like they don't know.
Right.
They want to act like they don't know.
I think that's it. Yeah. Real quick. This is the bonus section of the podcast,
yeah, exactly.
But you talked about on Sunday how we're not letting it be cold in here to like advertise that we need this.
Yeah, exactly.
But it reminded me of a great story. John Sherman, one of our wonderful, lovely pastors here at Calvary,
yes.
When he was in high school going to Hume Lake, he would pass out bags of popcorn, heavily salted popcorn, to everybody in the bus. And so they're like, oh, thanks, John. He's like,
just
no
free.
Problem. Just free popcorn. And then like 10 minutes later, he would walk around selling waters for a dollar.
That's genius, dude. That's amazing. Yeah, so that's basically it. I know. That's why I was like trying to say, I promise I'm not doing that this Sunday, but it was a funny moment.
It was a perfect Sunday to talk about it.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you, Matthew.
Yes, thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Calvary Life Podcast.
Thanks again for listening to the Calvary Life Podcast. If you'd like to share any of your thoughts, please reach out to us at podcast@calvarylife.org. You can find out more about the show on Instagram @CalvaryLife or on our website at calvarylife.org/podcast.